It's a great pleasure to have Christian Drouin here from Calvados. He doesn't need any introduction. I think everybody knows him. He's one of the magnificent and marvelous producers there. Christian, tell me a little bit about how would you describe it to a person who never ever had in his life Calvados? How would you sell it? How would you pitch it to the person, Calvados?
Maybe you, well, I think Calvados is probably the most complex spirit because it's derived fruit aromas coming from apple and pears, and many other aromas coming from bells, from cask. And in Normandy, we have used many different type of cask, delivering a lot of complexity. We have three sub-appellations with characteristic due to the soil, due to the method of distillation, due to the proportion of fruit. So it's a very complex word, a very high level of quality, and a product which is underestimated because not very well known.
You said underestimated, but wherever you go, you find the bottle of Drouin, Calvados, in the place. I mean, it's the benchmark. If there would be a tasting or anything like that, this is how, what we show to Cal. This is what Calvados is, you know. And it would be a bottle of Drouin everywhere, even in Hungary. I mean, you know, people, oh, look here, this is the best. And everywhere where you talk to people, they say the best. So, what do you think makes your product, your Calvados, set apart from the rest of the world? What do you think it's different?
I would say first, my father. My father, well, never, he wasn't selling any Calvados, but for 20 years he produced Calvados in a farm which was a country house, let's say, for weekends and small vacation, and decided to make Calvados from the apples produced on the farm. But my father was a very demanding man. Everything had to be perfect. So his idea was to build an inventory of very high quality product, and for that hired the man enjoying the reputation of being the best distiller in Pays d'Auge, Pierre Pivet. Pierre Pivet, by the way, is the only distiller in France who obtained from our Ministry of Agriculture a gold medal, because the medals go to products, not to the man who distill. And the ministry made a special decision because Calvados produced by Pierre Pivet were winning medal, gold medal every year in Paris competition. So he hired the right man, and when I decided to do something with my father's bell, I learned most of what I know from Pierre Pivet, who was a very nice man. And my idea was the same as my father. I wanted to produce something perfect and something classical. So I probably visited most producers, but not all of them. Today still 300 and something, at that time maybe 2000. But I visited a good number, asking them why they were doing that way, why, well, asking a lot of questions, and I've experimented a lot. All the pieces of advice that I was given, I tried them. I would say 90% were totally useless, but a few of them were very interesting.
Yeah.
I always thought that you first have, especially when you don't know the business, you know, you first have to understand why people are doing that way. And so, experimenting, I think we have succeeded to reach a very high level of quality, and I wanted, my own taste is not very important, so I wanted to see whether the product was considered of high quality. This is why we started to enter into competition, local competition, national competition, international competition, to see what the feedback is from people who are not Calvados specialists, but who are spirits specialists for most of them. And that's also another way to learn and to improve your method of production. So were always being willing to produce high level of quality, classical products, mm-hmm. and but also be innovative in some way. So this is why we, when I say innovative, it's not that innovative, but still a product that we're totally abandoned, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. unaged Calvados, yeah. La Blanche de Normandie.
Also yeah. unaged Calvados, so yeah. that's interesting.
Before the Second War, this product was the most consumed because mm-hmm. farmers had no time to
wait.
To wait. You know, that was the daily drink.
yeah.
And they were drinking the production of the year.
Of course.
Then we got an appellation contrôlée. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, there was no minimum age required. Mm-hmm. But step by step, we reached a minimum of 2 years for mm-hmm. any Calvados, even 3 years for Don Fronte Calvados. And the unaged Calvados has totally disappeared from the market.
Really?
I was pushed by bartenders, French Bartenders Association, and especially pushed by Colin Phil, the chief bartender of the Ritz Hotel yeah. in Paris, telling me, Christian, we want the aroma of the apple.
Of the apple.
We mm-hmm. don't want the color, and we don't want tannin from the wood for our cocktails. Mm-hmm. So please, do Calvados Blanc, white Calvados. I know what I can do, white Calvados. It could be a light yellow, but yeah. you find a solution. So the only solution is to give up the appellation Calvados.
Okay.
So we name it Blanche, white, de Normandie. Blanche was the name used by people, farmers and others, mm-hmm. For that unaged Calvados before the Second World War. So this appears today like an innovation. It's not really. It's something which existed
from the
before.
Past. Exactly.
Yeah. Another product, which many people consider as an innovation, but it's not really. But I was the first one to do it. Is the apple grown in a decanter?
Okay.
Prisonnière.
Okay.
The pear was already on the market. We are enjoying good success, and I was asked by some top retailers in Paris to produce an apple in the bottle.
Yeah.
And I realized why there was no apple in the bottle, because it's much more difficult to grow an apple than a pear in a bottle.
Okay.
But with the help of a neighbor who was specialized in growing fruits, we finally succeeded to obtain more or less 50%, well, 45% of success, you know. So mm-hmm. we entered the small apple in May after mm-hmm. blossoming
yeah.
the small fruit into the decanter. We fixed the decanter to the tree,
okay.
and hopefully in September we harvest them, filled with them. Calvados with 1 year of maceration. But this product has been wonderful to enter into Asian markets.
Asian markets, because of the sweetness of the appearance, or
first because of the look.
Okay.
When you come with a bottle of Calvados, which looks like, okay, that's a typical bottle, if you know, but for Chinese, for Korean, they think it's a cognac, you know?
Of course.
And when you tell them it's not cognac, it's made from apple, then it's okay, so many, nobody knows that, so I'm not interested. When I show this bottle, they were so excited. Oh, what is that?
Really?
How did you get the apple in?
And then?
And so the first Calvados shipped to Korea, the first Calvados shipped officially to mainland China, the first Calvados shipped to Taiwan was this product.
Wow.
In the 80s, second half of the 80s, because the product attracted attention, especially of women.
Yes.
They look at the fruit.
Of course, and they buy the product,
yeah,
isn't
they
it?
Start asking questions,
yeah.
then they want to know what the product is.
Yeah.
And they start. So that was, again, I don't think I've innovated much, but
something
but with a lot of work, we have introduced a product which happened to be successful and opened the category to a number of countries where nobody was interested to start all the efforts, you know, to do all the effort to start a product that nobody knows.
Yeah.
And the last innovation is my son Guillaume with the gin, the first apple gin produced in France. Nothing to do with marketing or this project that he decided 10 years ago, because when he was young, his main interest was into aromas.
Yes.
He was buying a magazine every week.
Mm-hmm.
Was not reading the magazine, but in the back of the magazine there was a cap of a different aroma.
Aroma samples.
And so he built his nose, as an oenologist, mm-hmm. and in Calvados he was, when he joined me, he was pleased to work in Calvados, but he was a bit frightened, because in Calvados, aromas are built.
Yes.
You do not create the aromas. So the gin is the perfect product to play with aromas.
Yes.
So he decided to produce an apple gin.
So apple-based gin with all the other usual...
Yeah. And playing with... So he identified aromas which are in the universe of Calvados, and he asked them to make a selection and to define the proportion.
Yeah.
So he worked very hard with top mixologists from Paris, London, New York, and after 5 years of work, they all told him, okay, stop. That's perfect.
Perfect.
That was at that time the ninth French gin, I think.
Yes.
The first one was Citadel, and this one, and that was the first apple gin.
Apple gin.
So now you have, because of the success of this one, you have other apple gin on the market, but not really performing well. This one was an authentic creation.
A crash course.
That was not just to join a trend, and so this is another, not an innovation, but
something which is looking after. Two final last questions, just if you have to pick something which makes Calvados unique, is it the soil, is it the people, is it the different varieties of apple and pear obviously as well, is it the climate, or is it the oak, what you use it? If you have to pick one, something above anything else, what would you pick it? This is my first question. And my second would be, apart from Calvados, what would be your favorite spirit you would take on a desert island and drink it? What would be that? So,
That's a question, and the answer is not an easy one, because each step of the production process is important. I remember once, Calvados was the choice of the King of Sweden.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We had a journalist coming to Normandy and say, okay, my magazine want to produce a 6 or 8 page article on you, your products, and because the product is famous in Sweden, and so I would like to write about your secret.
Everybody wants to know the secret.
So you know, I will disappoint you. First, if I had a secret, I wouldn't give it to a journalist. You know? Then there is no secret. At each step of the production process, you have to make decision whether you want to compete on a price basis or whether you want to produce the best possible product.
Yeah.
So if you're lucky, if you are already, because that you cannot decide, if you are already in the best part of Normandy, Pays d'Auge,
mm-hmm.
Enjoy the reputation of being the best place, you know, you work with what the ancestors have left, with varieties of apple. 2/3 are bitter sweet varieties, rich in tannin. 20% are sweet, 10% are acidic. So it's the blend,
mm-hmm.
Calvados, and that is very, so the soil, clay and flintstone,
mm-hmm.
where the apple trees grow easily. We grow only traditional big tall trees,
mm-hmm.
Because they are rustic and we need no chemical treatments.
Yes.
Then you have to harvest the fruit when they are mature, which is a lot of work because you have to go under the tree several times.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to crush the apple, not too much.
Yes.
To get, not too, so that you do not squeeze the seeds and everything. You get the juice which is pure. Then fermentation process, of course. Your tank should be very clean.
Yeah.
We are not allowed to add anything, no sugar, so this is regulation. And then come, once fermentation is completed, come distillation.
Mm-hmm.
Distillation, the size of the still is regulated, so no big still. Now, what is important in distillation is when you cut the heads and the tail.
Yeah.
In the heads, you have some very interesting aromatic components. But if you have too much head, you will not be allowed to sell your product. So you can work on the safe way, mean automatic cut. But you lose some of the most interesting aromas. Or it is human decision. So my son is doing most of that. You know, when it's time to make the cuts, somebody call him. He come, takes 15 minutes more or less, decide when to cut. For the taste, it's also important, but not as important as for me. And then the aging. And the aging is really where the producer signed the product. The choice of ale. Again, you have to decide whether you want to produce at low cost or whether you want to produce the most complex product. Low cost, you use a very large tank, you know, could be 15,000 liters. You lose almost nothing, but you don't age.
Yeah.
So then you will add a little bit of caramel, which is tolerated, a little bit of sugar to make it sweeter, tolerated also. You have a correct commercial club dose, not bad, but nothing that you would dream to have with you in the dessert.
Yeah.
As you say. Then if you play with small cask, you have to, again, it depends. If you are specialized in commercial product, you use new oak to deliver tannin quickly.
Yes.
And you will compensate with sugar. But otherwise, we never use new oak because deliver today. It was not like that in the past, but today deliver too much.
Too much of that green tannin.
So we use second hand barrel, 2 years of wine. We try to get barrels from top wineries. We send them back to the cooperage, take off the inside surface, redo the barrel. We fill with fresh cider for 6-8 months, then we age our cavados. So we get good results with that. And to build complexity, give character, make the product unique, we play with second-hand barrels coming from Port Sherry, Madeira, Guillaume, my son, introduced Tokaj from Hungary.
Really?
And also, yes, and also Banyuls, Miscal de Rivesalt, fortified wine.
Fortified wines previously.
And we get very interesting. We can build very complex bouquets.
So is that a finish which you're using then, or is that
Well, we have some which are finished, and we have some which are aged.
Okay, that's interesting.
And the objective, you know, we follow each barrel. Every year we taste each barrel. And we put our notes on the computer to see whether it's going where you want. We try to understand the product, to understand its fundamental personality, and then to preserve. So in the aging, we want to preserve the fruit as much as we can, and we want to build complexity. So now if you ask me which one I would like to take with me, difficult answer, because now, for a long time, I used to say they are all my babies. You know?
Doesn't have to be Calvados. Doesn't have to be Calvados. Let's say you take your favorite Calvados, but something else.
I like particularly of the old vintages. When they reach 20, 30 years. For instance, vintage 1990 would definitely be one of my favorites.
Really?
Vintage 2000 also. Before my favorite, but they are sold out now. We are 70 is still one of my favorite. Extremely complex.
Sounds amazing.
2 years in port cask, 2 years in sherry cask. And those, you can really enjoy a small glass of 1 hour, no problem. The aromas are coming one after the others. It's absolutely incredible.
Christian, merci beaucoup. Thank you very much for this. Was a fantastic introduction to Calvados, and you know, especially that vintage one. That sounds something which has legacy. So again, thank you very much
for
your time, and hope to taste some good Calvados with you.
Thank you.
Merci.
Thank you.